translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, the key jai. The foolish with poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a dream. Nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words. Purport. No one can properly describe the transcendental nature of the absolute truth. Therefore, it is said that he is beyond the expressions of mind and speech. And yet there are some men with a poor fund of knowledge who desire to understand the absolute truth by imperfect mental speculation and faulty descriptions of his activities. To the layman, his activities, appearance and disappearance, his names, his forms, his paraphernalia, his personalities, and all things in relation with him are mysterious. There are two classes of materialists, namely the fruitive workers and the empiric philosophers. The fruitive workers have practically no information of the absolute truth, and the mental speculators, after being frustrated in fruitive activities, turn their faces towards the absolute truth and try to know him by mental speculation. And for all these men, the absolute truth is a mystery, as the jugglery of a magician is a mystery to children. Being deceived by the jugglery of the Supreme Being, the non-devotees, who may be very dexterous in fruitive work and mental speculation, are always in ignorance. With such limited knowledge, they are unable to penetrate into the mysterious region of transcendence. The mental speculators are a little more progressive than gross materialists or the fruitive workers. But because they are also within the grip of illusion, they take it for granted that anything which has form, a name, activities, is but a product of material energy. For them, the Supreme Spirit is formless, nameless, and inactive. And because such mental speculators equalize the transcendental name and form of the Lord with the mundane names and form, they are in fact in ignorance. With such poor fund of knowledge, there is no access to the real nature of the Supreme Being. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is always in the transcendental position, even when he is within the material world. But ignorant men consider the Lord one of the great personalities of the world, and thus they are misled by the illusionary energy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchan Prabhudi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is chapter 3, which is entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. So Sutta Goswami is speaking this verse in response to one of the questions by the sages at Naimisharanya. The sages at Naimisharanya, they asked 6 questions to Rupa Goswami. The first question was, what is the absolute and ultimate good for all people in general? The second question was, what is the essence of all scriptures? The third was, please tell us why Lord Shri Krishna appeared on this planet. The fourth question was, please tell us the acts that the Lord performed in relationship to the creation of the material world. The fifth question, describe the pastimes and adventures of the Lord and his multi-incarnations. And the sixth one is, where have the religious principles gone after Lord Krishna has departed for his abode? So this particular chapter is answering, of course, the fifth question. Please describe the pastimes and adventures of and relationships. No, sorry, fifth, yeah. Describe the pastimes and adventures of the Lord's multi-incarnations. I'll just go through the brief summary of the chapter. So verses 1 to 5 describe the roles of the Purusha avatars. So the Goswami is talking about Mahavishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu particularly. And then from 6 to 27, Sutta Goswami is just describing the incarnations of the Lord. So he describes totally 22 incarnations of the Lord. And this, of course, is not an exhaustive list. There are many more. He describes some more in the second canto, but also in this particular chapter, in verse 3:26, Lord Krishna is saying that O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. So it is said that the Lord's incarnations, in the scriptures, if of course the main ones, the principal incarnations are mentioned, but actually it is said that the Lord's incarnating all the time. It's like the waves in the river. Prabhupada quite often says that the incarnations are always coming. So that was 6 to 27. And then 28 to 29, which is the current section that we're discussing. This is the one before, where it is described that Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. And the very, very important verse in that section is the verse 28, which is, Ete chamsa kala pumsha Krishna stu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. This verse, the translation is, all the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets where whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists, the Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So this verse, it is called the Paribhasya Sutra, so it's the seed or the theme verse, not only of this particular chapter, but of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also called the Emperor verse, it's one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. And then we come to this current section, which is 30 to 39. And here, Sutta Goswami describes about how the Lord descends into the material world, and at the same time, he has no connection with the material world. He says we learn all these details from bona fide sources like the Srimad Bhagavatam. So yesterday's class, which Maharaj gave so succinctly, Sutta Goswami speaks about the activities. The Lord's activities are always spotless. And he is the master of the 6 senses. And he is fully omnipotent with 6 opulences. He creates the material universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and always independent. So today's verse, Sutta Goswami is now speaking about people who cannot understand the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth. So who cannot understand? Who are the people that cannot understand the Supreme Truth? And in the verse, he uses the word kumanisha. Manisha means intelligence, mana. Manisha means intelligence. And ku gives a negative. So kumanisha, it's just someone with poor fund of knowledge or less intelligent. So why do these people have less intelligence? The reason is that they have not studied the Shastra according to the parampara. So they have not received the information in disciplic succession. Most of the time, people will hear things here and there, not particularly fixed in any particular system of religion, and then they will concoct their own different ideas about religion. So sampradayas, as we know, there are four principal Vaishnava sampradayas, and these are the Sri Sampradaya, which comes down in disciplic succession from Goddess Lakshmi, and the Sampradaya Acharya for the Sri Sampradaya is Ramanuja Acharya. And then is Rudra Sampradaya, which is coming down in disciplic succession from Lord Shiva, and the Sampradaya Acharya in that Sampradaya is Vishnu Swami. And then the Brahma Sampradaya, which is the Sampradaya that we belong to, coming down in disciplic succession from Lord Brahma, and the Acharya is Madhvacharya. And then the Kumara Sampradaya, which is coming down in disciplic succession from the four Kumaras, and the Acharya in that Sampradaya is Nimbakacharya. So Vaishnavas, if they follow any one of these four Sampradayas properly, through the bona fide spiritual masters, they will come with the right understanding. The problem happens when people don't follow a particular sampradaya, and they're getting information from different places. So many times I meet people, and they will suddenly come up with a concept which seems a bit strange. And when you challenge them, when you ask them, what's the source of your information? They'll generally say, "Oh, I just heard it somewhere." So like this, they end up with hodgepodge in their minds, and this is one of the biggest problems in the world today, especially in India. We have so many different ideas of religion, and people never come to the final point. They are totally misguided by all these different concepts coming through. Nowadays, before it used to be, in the early days, people used to actually go and listen to kathas. And there, I suppose, there was less chance, because they would get a chance to go and listen to kathas, and naturally they would be drawn towards kathas which were more to their nature. And then if they're Vaishnava nature, they would follow Vaishnavas. Nowadays, what's happening is that TV channels, so many TV channels, religious TV channels, and you watch those channels even for 2-3 hours, you'll be bombarded from different angles, because there are speakers there who just come and speak, and some of them don't even belong to any sampradayas. And when somebody comes on TV, people take them seriously. And this is what causes the total confusion. So these people become completely misguided. So we should not be surprised by the fact that people are misguided in this age of Kali. Because in the first canto, first chapter, text 10, the sages of Naimisharanya are describing the symptoms of people in the age of Kali. And this verse goes, Prayaranat Puyusha Sabhya Kalav Asmin Yugejana Mandasu Manda Matayo Manda Bhagya Yupradrita. Alpa Ayusha. Alpa, short. Alpa means short. Short span of time or anything short. Short-lived. Ayusha means lifespan. Alpa Ayusha. So when I was looking at this, alpa, the alpa word, it reminded me of my primary school back in Uganda, where we were learning Gujarati. So in Gujarati, when they taught us the punctuation marks, at that time I didn't realize it, of course, but now I realize the punctuation marks were in Sanskrit. So the punctuation mark, comma, right? Anybody know what is the Sanskrit word for comma, or the phrase for comma? Say again. Sanskrit is alpa viram, which is quite descriptive. Alpa, of course, is short, and viram means rest. So when you come in a sentence, there's a comma, you take a small rest. And then I was looking at how comma came. So I looked into the dictionary, and comma, the source of comma, apparently, is a Latin word, and it says short phrase. So, okay, short phrase is fine as well. But, you know, the Sanskrit, alpa viram, short rest, is much more accurate as a description of comma. And then, anybody know what is full stop in Sanskrit? I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. I'm just been looking at it just out of interest. So full stop is purna viram. Purna means complete. Viram, again, means rest or stop. So complete stop. So when you come to that dot, you completely stop that sentence before you start the next one. So interesting how this alpa. So coming back to that verse, alpa ayusha, so short-lived. People in this age of Kali are short-lived, the sages are saying. So this is, of course, in comparison to the different yugas, because if you think about this yuga, or right in current times, I would say, actually, people are living longer now. If I look at my grandfather's age and that era, people were dying in the 40s and 50s because there was not proper medical care, and you know, especially in India, there was a sort of high rate of mortality. So I would say that actually, no, now people are living longer. So is this faulty, this description of Kali Yuga? Of course not. First of all, it's describing it in comparison to the huge lifespans that people had in their previous life. So, of course, it is short. And secondly, it is explained that everything in the material world moves not in a straight line, but in waves. So we may be going through a wave where we are living a little bit longer, a tiny little bit longer than before, but then that wave will again go down. And gradually, it is explained in the Bhagavatam, to the 12th canto, that, and Prabhupada often mentions this in his lectures, that when in the age of, towards the end of a Kali Yuga, when somebody is 25, 30 years old, he will be considered a really old man. Because this is how the age will shrink. So people are alpa ayusha, short-lived. Then they are manda, lazy. In the age of Kali, people are lazy. So of course, people, we can say, materially also, many people are lazy. But in this particular context, it means lazy in terms of spirituality. That's the case, isn't it? So many people, we approach people, we invite them to come to our sanghas, invite them to come to the temples. How many are interested? People are very, very active in terms of their material lives, but very lazy when it comes to the food for the soul. So lazy, this is the symptom of people in Kali Yuga. Sumandamataya. So this is relevant to this particular verse. Misguided. Sumantamatiya. Misguided. There's so many, as I was saying earlier, there are so many paths, so many different ideas, and so many gurus who either, personally, I would say not intentionally, but because they themselves have been misled, and they started to believe in a particular way of religion, they then pull, because they happen to be charismatic, they happen to be good orators. So they will pull a lot of crowd, and everybody starts to follow. It's like, you know, the blind following the blind following the blind. So, misguided. But why do these misguiding gurus exist? Because people in general they have a tendency to be misguided. They want to be misguided. People are looking for easy ways out, easy way to get to the absolute truth, which they will never get to through those paths. But this is Sumandamata. And the other two phrases in this that particular verse was Manda Bhagya. unlucky. Again, compared to the previous ages, people in the age of Kali are very unfortunate. That, and the last one is Upadruta. Upadruta means disturbed, always disturbed, the phrase says. So these are the symptoms of us, symptoms of people in the age of Kali. So we should not be surprised that there is a lot of misguiding going on. The other interesting phrase in this text is Uti Namani Rupani. So activities, names, and forms. So in the purport, Prabhupada says that people, these people who are less intelligent, they cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms and names, activities of the Lord. So this reminded me of the famous verse that Rupa Goswami speaks in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He writes, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriye sevon mukhe jivado swayam eva svurat yada. As the Lord's names, forms, pastimes, paraphernalia, etc., are all on the absolute platform, it is not possible to understand them by our dull conditioned senses, Rupa Goswami says. But when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, beginning from the tongue, to chant his names and taste his prasadam, the senses automatically become purified and one understands who God really is. Shri Shri Radha Gopala Nanda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshma Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nagnitai ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So this verse, Rupa Goswami says, that because we are not engaging our senses in the service of the Lord, unless we engage our senses, and it says, Jivhado means beginning from the tongue. So our tongue is, if we can control our tongue, everything, all the other senses are we able to control. So the tongue is the most voracious, as it is said, when we sing the prasadam prayer. So once we engage our senses, starting with our tongue, in the service of the Lord, the senses automatically become cleansed, and then we understand, we start to perceive. Grahyam. No grahyam, it says. No bhavet grahyam. Grahyam means perceived. So we can only perceive the supreme truth if we get to a stage of cleansing our senses. The other part of the text says, Nata charyam. Nata means acting. So, like an actor. So when the Lord comes in the material world, he is acting. It takes the form of a human being and he is acting. So these people still, they cannot recognize him. So in a good drama, for example, on Sunday, we had Prabhuji. He was playing the part of Shurpankha, right? And when he came on the stage, children, I'm sure, because of his makeup and everything, children would have been scared because of his makeup. Because they don't recognize him. But then adults who are more intelligent, they recognize him. Okay, yeah, it's him. It's Prabhuji who is doing the part, who is acting. Right? So, similarly, people who are intelligent are able to recognize the Lord. They're able to recognize his pastimes and activities, and they recognize that he's only acting, he's only playing a part. But he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the intelligent people. But then, as we know from the past times, most of the time, even people who are with the Lord, they also don't recognize. But that is not because of ignorance. They don't recognize the Lord because the Lord has chosen to cover himself with yoga maya. Otherwise, he could not have the pastimes. If everybody understood that Lord was the Supreme Lord, Lord could not have the pastimes freely. The parents of the Lord would not be able to treat him like a child. His friends would not be able to teach him like a friend. His girlfriends would not be able to teach him like his boyfriend. So for that reason, he covers them with yoga maya. And the other kind of people that the Lord chooses to cover with his yoga maya is people who are not interested, who don't want to know him. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 27 says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Mudo yam nabhi janati loko mam ajam avyayam. He says, I'm never manifest to the foolish and the unintelligent. For them, I'm covered by my internal potency. Therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So this is just describing the intelligent people, why they get into that situation. Then I was looking at some interesting, the purport Prabhupada gives to this verse is like all his purports. It's just superb. Actually, after you read the purport, you don't need to know anymore. It's just so succinct, beautifully done. But anyway, just for the sake of this class, we can just pick up some of these parts and discuss them. So Prabhupada said, no one can properly describe the transcendental nature of the absolute truth. So no one can know the Lord. No one can know. So the Lord, so people can. We can know the Lord as much as the Lord wants us to know Him. Number one, and as much as we want to know Him. Lord can see our heart. He's in the heart anyway, and He can see our desire. Ye yatha mam prabhadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. So as much as we desire, the Lord will reveal Himself to us. So important to create the desire to know the Lord. It's not just a mechanical thing, but it is it's very much a matter of the heart. Then Prabhupada says, therefore it is said, He is beyond the expression of mind and speech, and yet there are some men who, with poor fund of knowledge, who desire to understand the absolute truth by imperfect mental speculation and faulty descriptions of His activities. So He's beyond the expressions of the mind and speech. So this is why one of the Lord's names is Adokshaja. Akshaja means the measurement of our senses. And Adokshaja means something which is beyond the measurement of our senses. So as human beings, all living beings, as we know, we have four defects, every one of us, right? And these are that we're all illusioned, our senses are imperfect, we are prone to make mistakes, and we have a propensity to cheat. So this defect of our senses means that we cannot understand the Lord just by using our senses. Then Prabhupada continues, to the layman, his activities of appearance and disappearances, his names, his forms, his paraphernalia, his personalities, and all things in relation with him are mysterious. That is why such people, This is why such people label these pastimes as, they call him, mythology. Right? Many times when you speak about the pastime of the Lord, they will say, yeah, this is mythology. You know? And this is the reason why they think like this, because again, they just cannot understand that for them, these things are just some stories that somebody has put together. But they're not. They are not stories, they are histories. Prabhupada then goes and describes the two classes of men. He says, there are two classes of materialists, namely the fruitive worker and the empiric philosopher. The fruitive workers have practically no information of the absolute truth, and the mental speculators, after being frustrated in fruitive activities, turn their faces toward the absolute truth and try to know Him by mental speculation. So the fruitive worker, the karmi is operating totally on the platform of the senses. So he has no chance to even begin to know. And the jnani, he's operating on the platform of the mind. So both the senses and the mind are material. So by both of them acting on the platform of material, on the material platform, it is not possible for them to know spiritual activities. You need to know, even for material activities, you need proper instruments. So the senses are instruments. So they materially also, you need proper instruments for a particular kind of activity. So if you give, I was just thinking, if you give the best kind of dental clinical equipment to an optician, it's no use to him. He needs optical equipment. So similarly, for material information, material knowledge, we can utilize our senses and our mind. But when it comes to spiritual knowledge and activities, it's not possible. It's just like those tools from the dentist. They're not going to be useful to us. We need to get ourselves purified, get into the and start thinking on the spiritual platform. The process to understand God is just one: devotional service. This is confirmed time and again in the Bhagavad Gita. And even at the end, 18th chapter 55, Krishna says, Bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavan yas shasmi tatvata tato mam tatvato gyata vishate tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am. As I am. See, one can try and understand Krishna. People can have partial understandings of Krishna. People can have the understanding of the Brahma Jyoti or Paramatma. But Krishna says, for one to understand me as I am, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, so one can understand me as I am, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter the kingdom of God. The Mata Prabhuji is miming it. He obviously, Bhakti Shastri is working here. So, limited. So there's a few more things to say, but what I just want to also cover before is the purport. I wanted to talk about how people in general, maybe not so much nowadays, but in Prabhupada writes in his purports many times, that people have the tendency to see, to accept many different personalities as the acharya, no acharya, as the incarnations. And there was recently, I was listening to a lecture, I was reading somewhere, where Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in the temple in Sydney. We're talking about how people don't accept Krishna as God, but they're ready to accept other personalities as God. So in the middle of the class, this bearded young man, he stands up and he says, I think Meher Baba is God, not Krishna. So Prabhupada looks at him without any comments. He says, Swamiji, what do you think about Meher Baba? So Prabhupada just looks to the altar. It's Radha Gopinath at the Sydney temple. And he says, Krishna is so beautiful. He lifted the Govardhan Hill for 7 days on his little finger. We accept Krishna. You can keep Meher Baba. And then he still keeps his finger up and he says, so beautiful, Krishna is so beautiful. And he repeats, we will keep Krishna, you can have Meher Baba. Right? And then as he was leaving the class at the end, he gently turned to the person, the bearded person, and very humbly he said, please be careful, don't be misguided. And Prabhupada left. So this is people accepting Meher Baba. So anybody here heard of Meher Baba? You have, yeah? Some have, yeah. Okay, so the next question I had when I read that was, who? Because in that particular piece I read, it was a diary by a previous devotee. They didn't explain who Meher Baba was. So straight away, who is Meher Baba? I never heard of him. So apparently, Meher Baba, he was a person who was born in 1894, so a couple of years before Srila Prabhupada, and he was born in Pune. Now, he was born to an Irani couple. So he was not even a Hindu. And he was like a normal boy. He grew up, went to school. In fact, he was the captain of his cricket team at the age of 16, 17. So, you know, that he was quite a normal person. Then what happened was that some aesthetic lady at one point, he met somebody, and she put her hand on his forehead and gave him some blessings. Now, some chamatkar happened at that time, and suddenly he lost all interest for all education and all material life, and he started to really study, get into spirituality. But then, as usual, misguided. So he followed four or five sort of impersonal gurus, and that way he got his information. And then because he became such a good orator himself, he started to gather his own following. And then what happens is these so-called incarnations, they don't begin themselves saying that I'm an incarnation, usually speaking, they don't. But it's the cronies, it's the people who are following him, they start sort of, you know, building him up, putting him on a pedestal. And then they start also believing, because they're enjoying that glory. So they start saying, yeah, okay. And then they accept it. So then everybody starts to call him Avtar Meher Baba. So he became an avatar like that. So this is the brief history of him. Apparently there are still, he also went out of India, and there's still stations. There's a center in, how big the center is, I don't know, but there's an address in Hammersmith where there's a Avtar Meher Baba center. So, but his philosophy was very much impersonalist. So then what I want to finish with is how can one separate the real avatars from the false avatars? Quite difficult task, unless you come to the right path, isn't it? So, thankfully, the Vedic literature, it gives clear parameters by which we can use to help to safely identify incarnations. And here I'm going to quote an acronym, and it's been Sutta Prabhu always loves acronyms. So in Sutta Prabhu's book, the Chaitanya Charitamrita Compact, he has very nicely given us this acronym, SAFE, how to know, how to separate the real incarnation safely. So S stands for scripture. So every incarnation of God is predicted in scripture. And this is the most important and most easily identifiable reference point. So we must follow scripture to understand if someone if he's not mentioned in the scriptures, he's not an incarnation. Simple. Full stop. You don't need to think anymore. Then A of the SAFE stands for astrology and attributes. So specific planetary movements also indicate the appearance of a divine personality. So the astrologers, the real well-known astrologers, they in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for example, they noted a unique constellation during the time of the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like this, it should be that one should know about this, and then also attributes. So the Lord, when he appears, he also displays certain bodily attributes, which further confirm his identity. So as we know, the Lord Krishna has got these marks on his foot. So like this, they have, these incarnations have certain marks that one can identify. Then F of SAFE means follow authorities. So these scriptural statements and their astrological sort of measurements and predictions, they are then confirmed by the great acharyas of the time, right? By the dint of their philosophical depth and spiritual purity, they're able to identify the various incarnations. So we can take the instructions from them. Then E of the SAFE stands for extraordinary activities. So all incarnations of the world, they perform extraordinary activities. So while it's on this planet, they perform wondrous activities, and one of the greatest activities is that they actually generally uplift the population with spiritual reform, and they transform their lives, and they leave behind invaluable instructions, and that establishes the religious process again. So I will, it's 8:30, just past 8:30, I'll just quickly summarize. So we discussed about how people with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand the transcendental nature of Lord because they get their knowledge from unauthorized sources. We discussed about the four authorized Vaishnava sampradayas. We discussed about the symptoms of people in the Kali. We discussed about four defects of people in general. We talked about the Karmis and the Gyanis, how they are still material. That's why they cannot understand. And then we discussed about how one can separate the real avatars from the false avatars. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki Jai.